Session number 22131, Reel 1.
George Eliot, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Portsmouth, Hampshire.
Which year was this?
It was 1919.
Did both your mother and father come from Portsmouth?
No, my mother was born in Toronto, Canada. But my father was born in Hampshire, Portsmouth, as far as I can say.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Portsmouth?
Yes.
Which school did you go to?
St. John's Roman Catholic School in Alfred Road in Portsea.
How old were you when you finished there?
Well, when I was 11 years of age, we moved up to Milton, and then I went to Mean Road School to complete my education, which was until I was 14 and then left school then.
So you left school in 33?
That's correct, yeah.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I went to work for a greengrocer to start with, but he went bankrupt. He was on his way out in any case when I joined him. And then I went to work for Pink's, which was in Highland Road at Southsea, and I was there until I went on the railway in 1935.
Which railway company was that?
The South Western British Rail.
What was that railway company like to work for in the 30s?
Well, it wasn't too bad, except that you were taken on for 6 months until the end of the summer service. Then you were stood off, and you either had to go away to another depot for the winter period, or be stood off and go on the dole. And unfortunately, that's what I did. I was unemployed for the 6 months I was off.
So you only worked for them 6 months out of every year?
No, that first year. But after that, they kept me on. And then in 1938, I was transferred up to Guildford. And I stayed there at Guildford until May of 39.
What jobs were you doing with the company?
Well, my job was that of an engine cleaner. But whilst I was at Portsmouth, I was working in the office as the office boy, answering the telephones and going messages and what have you. But when war broke out, I was asked to go in the office for the duration of war, because I understood all the codes and different jargon on the telephones that used to come over. But in the meantime, in May 39, I was called up for 6 months as a militiaman, which became 6.5 years eventually. I was called up for the Navy in December 39, but it was a reserved occupation because by that time I was now a cleaner fireman, you see. So it was a reserved occupation. I could have stayed on the railway, but I preferred to go into the Navy for the war years.
Why?
Well, I had it in my blood, I suppose, living in a naval town, and a lot of my friends were also in the Navy. I decided that's what I wanted to do. I was an amateur boxer in those days, so I could have gone in as a PTI, a seaman, because we did quite a bit of sailing over at Hayling Island, and then as a stoker, I could have gone in. I could enter as a stoker in the Navy.
How do you think you would have fared during the war had you stayed on the railway?
Well, I don't know. I've got no idea, because the hours that they worked, the type of work they did, and the fact that Portsmouth was being bombed, or anything could have happened.
Were any of your colleagues on the railway killed during the war?
Yes, there was one fireman. He went down on the Esk. He was a stoker, a three-bed stoker actually, And then there was another lad, one of the fitter's apprentices. He went in the Air Force, but how he got on, I don't know. Where he got killed or what, I don't know. I don't know his history at all.
Can you tell me about the training that you had at first in the Navy?
Yes, first of all, I went to Skegness, you see, and we did all the square bashing and what have you there.
How were you treated at Skegness?
as they used to treat all the new entries in those days, rough and tough.
Can you give any examples of the roughness and toughness?
Well, the toughness was when we were doing rifle drill and the snow would be lying on the ground and you're freezing cold and you weren't allowed to wear gloves. But the lieutenant commander that was in charge of us there, and the divisional officer, he was there with a big pair of fur gloves on, you know. So I call that rough and tough. Apart from that, I've got no complaints.
Were you treated fairly or unfairly?
Oh, no, treated fairly. The only thing was that we slept in the chalets, and three in each chalet, and we had a board there in the centre, you know, of the bed. So, you see, one of the rules of the Navy was that two men are not allowed to sleep together, and this board separated you from each other, you see.
Was that to prevent homosexuality?
Presumably.
Did you ever hear of any homosexuality?
Oh, I had experience, and God knows what else, because as far as homosexuality is concerned, that's not my cup of tea. But apart from that, I knew of certain factors and certain things that went on.
How did you come to hear about those?
Well, it was common knowledge. In fact, I mustn't say it, I suppose. Only one of our members of the Barham Association, he lost his cousin, I think it was, on the Barham, who was always known as the the hooded terror. You'd find him feeling around your bed, or he'd come trying to interfere with this sort of thing. In your sleep sort of thing. But no, I won't say any more than that. I won't say who he was or what, because of, you know...
No, don't mention any name.
No, the relative has been very good to our association. In fact, he did... I've never mentioned anything to him. That's personal, so I wouldn't say anything about it.
What attitude did the naval authorities have if homosexuality was discovered?
Well, they were pretty hot on that sort of thing, but I'm afraid I wouldn't like to discuss it because, you know, certain individuals that were involved are now dead, so I just won't say anything against them.
So you're at Skegness. Any
yes.
Incidents happened to you during the training?
No, not at Skegness. Then from Skegness I came down to Portsmouth, and I did so much training on the Marshall Salt, which was the engineering training ship in those days. And also we were at the Portsmouth Grammar School. We used to do a certain amount of classroom work there.
Such as? What type of thing?
Well, mentioning the temperatures and the readings of gauges, etc., and what type of equipment you'd be expected to operate on the ship, you see. And then the next thing is I was drafted to the Phoenix, which is the... firefighting school, so we had to do a certain amount of firefighting, etc., etc., and also working as a garden party there, digging up the old allotments, which had been the basis of Phoenix, Phoenix in those days. And then from there, I was sent to Belmont Park.
Where is HMS Phoenix?
Phoenix used to be at Stemshaw, here in Portsmouth. Then I went to Belmont Park to await. In the meantime, I was at Belmont Park where I taught firefighting and the operation of the trailer pumps, etc., to other people there waiting for drafts to ships or various other places.
Was the equipment for firefighting adequate for the job?
Well, it was, and in fact, one night during an air raid, I was turned out with the trailer pump and the crew to a haystack which was on fire at 40 acres at Farlington, which is on the outskirts of Portsmouth. This haystack, being alight, was attracting the bombers like were overhead there, and eventually we put it out and stood by, you know, in case of anything further. And as a result, there was quite a good recommend sent by the chief fire officer from Havant Fire Brigade for the work that we'd done and the way we'd gone about it.
You just used water to put it out?
Just water, yes.
Any other memories of the bombing that you were in?
Well, the next thing was that I was sent to... that's the name of the place now. Southend-on-Sea. Can't think of the name of the place at the present moment.
Westcliff?
Yeah, Westcliff, that's right. Whilst I was there, I'd introduced myself to the civil defence officer, told him of what I used to do with a firefighting crew at Belmont Park, and as a consequence, the lads that were stopped draft, they were sent on their way, and I used to train all the firefighters there every day, covered all the duties that they would normally have done. And I could go out any time of the day or night that I wanted. The only thing that if there was an air raid, I had to come back, you see, to take charge of the firefighting. And whilst I was there, I was, in that particular time, allocated to a flotilla, a landing craft flotilla, you see. And the next thing is that I went to draw my pay one day, and the engineer officer said to me, "I've never seen you before. How long have you been with the flotilla?" So I said, "Oh, last couple of months." Like, he said, "Well, we're doing all our training and armed combat and God knows what else, you know, for the landing craft or for combined ops." Like, he said, "You better start coming out with us and doing your training." So I said, "Well, the civil defence officer is going to recommend me for a commission as a civil defence officer." So he said, "Well, wouldn't you rather be an engineer officer?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Well, you come away with us and I'll recommend you," which I did do. And I went with him up to Inverary, where we were training a landing craft crews and what have you, and getting them all ready for D-Day, etc. Although this is around about 1943. But anyway, eventually I had to go ashore and see the base engineer, and I was recommended to see the selection board for engineer officer.
We've jumped ahead to 43.
Yes.
But if we can go back to, because I was asking you about the Blitz and...
Well, that was 42. That was around about 42.
But before that, we haven't talked about when you were in Barham.
Well, that was from early 1940 until she was sunk in 41.
Was Barham your first ship?
Yeah, was my only ship, to be quite honest.
Can you tell me about your drafting to Barron, please?
Yes, I was drafted in the February 40 up to Liverpool, where I joined the Barron. She had been torpedoed in the Irish Sea, December, I believe it was, December 30, 39. That's it, December 39. So, and she'd gone into Liverpool for repairs.
What state was, did the ship appear to be in when you went to Liverpool?
Well, she was in a poor state because the torpedo had gone through the bows, and you could have got a bus through the hole that was there. And she was pretty dodgy. And also they put another 4,000 tonnes of armour plating on the upper deck, you know, to protect her against bombs, you see. And as I say, you know, when I joined her, I was a second-class stoker in those days.